Tony Watson.
Hey, Tony.
Hmm?
Hello, Tony.
Well, what are you doing up here?
Hello.
Mike Glacier, isn't it?
Well. you working up here? I mean, what are you doing?
How's not all everything? The time, just today.
Oh, it must be striking. 10 years
I'm
at least.
I'm with Benson Smithers, based in London.
With who?
I'm not in the theatre anymore.
Aren't you? I'm touring with Clive Hitchcock, a new Jack Ritchie comedy. You know, at the Playhouse. Hey, listen, you're free for half an hour. Let's have a drink, eh?
Okay, I've got to be down at Tower Square by 10.
Oh, but, that's great. It's only just gone 9. Come on. They're open all day, market days. What made you chuck the theatre, then?
Well, theatre chucked me, actually. Well, not really. You know, you're right.
Time. The silent herald of life and death. Success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.
So-and-so.
Cheers, Mike. Nice to see you again.
Well, what have you been doing with yourself? You rich? You look it.
Rich? My foot.
Tell me, what made you give up acting, then? You were the bloke I thought was really going places.
I did. Labour Exchange, Clifftops Hotel, Porter, deck chair attendant, Ride, Isle of Wight, car factory at Gosport. I went everywhere.
Yeah, sure. I know. We've all done all of that.
Horrible, was it?
But I really thought you'd be starring, no?
Starring or starving? Well, you know, I did a bit of TV, had a 6 months run in Witch's Hollow at the Lyceum. Mm. Load of baloney that was, too. Then I had a long stint out, and I found I was getting more dough when I was out of the theatre than in it. Even the West End, and I thought, well, you know. Hey, you've done all right. We watched you in the October game on ITV. Thought you were Ruddy Marlowe.
Last I heard of you, weren't you going up for that David Keller play at the Aldwych?
I was, yes. That was in 57, wasn't it? Somewhere about there.
I remember my agent telling me more or less who was going to do it. I was going to go along to the auditions for The Frenchman. I didn't get it. I gave it to a Frenchman, actually. How's your drink?
Okay.
Yeah, my agent reckoned they'd as good as cast you. Audition was just a formality. Didn't you fancy it or something? Good part, I mean. Second lead, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes.
They took it to the States afterwards. 2 years on Broadway. Whew. I was sick inside out when they told me I wasn't in it. Of course, they'd probably recast my part over there. You'd have been all right, then.
Oh.
Ian Burridge played it in the end, and he's never looked back. Never come back, come to that. He's in every second Yankee picture you see. The Eternal English Butler. And he was with Marlon Brando in that thing by Edward Lucas as well. Rich as all get out now, yes.
I got mucked up there.
Oh, I don't mean.
Well, I've never regretted it, you know. We've got 4 kids now.
4? I'm still single and happy.
3 girls and a boy.
Yes, well, you always preferred girls, didn't you? Have another.
Okay. No, the thing was, Arthur Wellman said they wanted me definitely for Water's Edge.
Water's Edge, that was it, yeah. They filmed it too, you know?
Yeah, I know.
With Ian Burridge.
Oh, all right, don't rub it in.
Sorry. Well, why didn't you play it then? I mean, if they wanted you...
Well, I didn't make the audition. Oh. They got all queer about it and took Burridge to the part.
You mean you didn't go to the audition? Bit daft, wasn't it?
You got a bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you haven't got to roar off anywhere for a bit. Well, I'm okay till just after 10.
No, sure, sure. I'm just strolling around town. We've got a dress rehearsal this afternoon, that's all.
Mm. It was all a bit crummy, really. I did.
Hey, hang on. A couple more, please. Yeah, hang on.
Well, I was a bit mixed up with this woman, as a matter of fact. Claire, her name was. She wasn't an actress, sort of model. Vera didn't know anything. I was pretty far gone on her.
You're still married to Vera, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, yes. Oh, marvellous now. She never knew at all. So I'm trusting you,
Mike. Oh, cut my throat. Hope to die. How did this affect the audition for Water's Edge, then?
Well, I'm telling you. Mm. We were going to go away together, Claire and me. There was only one baby then, little Martin. I mean, it would have been a lousy thing to do, but as I said, I was pretty hopelessly in love with her. She was married as well, of course.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yes. Well, it was a Wednesday, about this time in the morning, as a matter of fact. The auditions were at the Crosby Hall in Applegate. It was a lovely day, so I decided to walk. I was just crossing that little road near the park. I had plenty of time. I'm always early for things like auditions. Or I was. I was crossing the road when I just looked up. I don't know why. And there was this man on this ledge of this tall building, about 8 stories up. More, 10. I don't know. Anyway, he was balancing near the edge. There was an entrance to this block of flats. I felt I had to do something, so I belted in and up the stairs, and then I realized I didn't know which floor or whereabouts along the ledge he was. So I raced back and counted. He was still there. Oh, I was going to phone the police or something, but I didn't, because I thought he'd probably jump while I was doing that. I tried to gauge more or less how many windows along from the corner and exactly how many flights up and all that, and up I went. Didn't wait for the lift. Just kept seeing this bloke falling. What had happened to him when he hit the ground? It occurred to me that he might be a workman and I might be making a Charlie of myself. But somehow I knew as well that this wasn't the case. There's something nasty was going to happen. The first couple of places I looked out, I couldn't see him. I counted wrong or something. I was about 2 landings from the very top. And then I saw him. He was about 30 feet along from the window where I looked out. I nearly called out. Then I realized I mustn't do that. I had to get closer. I squinted along and tried to gauge how many windows along he was. I counted the doors along the corridor. I was in this ordinary little flat. I opened the window and looked out. He was about 10 feet from me along on the ledge. He wasn't moving. I looked down and I felt a bit sick. I didn't know what to do. Then he looked sideways and saw me. He didn't say anything. Just sort of leaned forward as if he was going to jump.
Please, look, you'd better be careful. You might, it's a long way down.
I mean, what do you say in a case like that? Whatever you say is going to sound stupid and inadequate. I wasn't sure whether he'd heard me or not. Then I saw a closer window along the wall. I opened this. His boots were only about 5 feet along from me. He sort of moved quickly sideways, away, as if he was scared I was going to try and touch him.
It's okay. Don't worry. I saw you from down there. It looks a bit dangerous. What are you doing? Huh?
He didn't look at me. Just told me where to go and what to do, and he wasn't very polite. All this time, no one else had noticed. I remember thinking this was a bit queer, but there wasn't a soul about down in the street. An odd car went by. No one looked up or anything. I didn't know what to do. There was a phone in the flat, but who do you phone in that sort of situation? I had this feeling that if people came, he'd... Well, he must have reckoned I was trying to decide what to do, because he spoke again without looking at me.
Get out of my flat. You're trespassing.
Oh, it's yours, is it? Why don't you come in? You might fall or something.
Mind your own business. Clear off.
Why are you... I mean, what's up? Look, you're right. It's none of my business, but I... Look, you might regret it on the way down or something. Be a bit late then. Don't move your feet like that. You're, feel like talking about it.
Horrible thing to say. Feel like talking about it. Corny. Sort of thing a vicar might say in one of those television dramas. Thing is, this is how you tend to react to situations which are a bit melodramatic. You say corny things that have been said before. I couldn't think of any startling, original dialogue. I mean, the whole situation was so crummy. Then I saw the time. I'd have to be smart if I was going to get over to Crosby Hall for my audition.
Listen, I've got to go now. Please don't jump or anything, Garth. Won't you come in? You could give me your hand. I'll help you. Hey? Well, look, I've got to go.
I looked over my shoulder around the flat. There were a few women's things about, flowers and that. I knew he was married.
Where's your wife?
Keep her away from me.
Yes. Okay, of course.
Leave me alone!
Look out, you'll fall! Martin. You? Is that why you've, why you're doing this? Because of something wrong in your marriage?
No. This is a protest against the rising cost of living and starvation in China.
Eh?
What do you think?
Something wrong in your marriage?
Get out of my flat.
Yes. Well, you see, I've got to go anyway. Look, I'll come back.
I won't be here, then.
Look, let me help you. Let me tell someone or something. Don't do this to me. It's not fair.
What the blazes has it got to do with you?
Well, I saw you from down there. I mean, I couldn't just... Well, I had to.
Public-spirited, aren't you?
No, not particularly, no. But, look, I don't know you. You don't know me. After today, we'll probably never see one another again, and...
That's
and...
the truest thing you've said yet.
Sure. What I mean, if you can just talk a bit, well, with a stranger, it might help. And then, well, if you still feel the same way...
What?
Well, I mean, I suppose you better jump, hadn't you?
I looked at the time, and even if I had wings, I couldn't have got to Crosby Hall then. If I leapt right away, I'd be late, but I could get over that. Suddenly, I felt an awful lot of antagonism. I began to curse this bloke in my mind for choosing just the minute I was passing to stand up there on that ledge like a stupid idiot. Only that's the way people want to go. They should do it quietly without any fuss, not make themselves the responsibility of a complete stranger.
Look, why don't you come in? I've got this important appointment.
Well, go then! I'm not asking you to stay.
I can't.
Why not?
Look, stop jumping about. Women drive you around the bend, but if you stop to think about it, none of them are worth getting this cut up about. I mean, are they? You'll probably feel completely different tomorrow.
I won't feel anything tomorrow.
All right, but, look. Just give it a go. Tell me. Huh?
Usual thing. Usual dreary business. Nothing new. Another man.
Oh.
5 years. I thought you'd been happy. I found out. It wasn't the first one. Began almost right away. There've been about 6 of them. I must have been blind.
Yes. Well, that's tough. But they're not all like that. I mean, well, divorce. Start all over again. She's not worth bashing your brains out for, is she?
How do you know? You never met Claire.
Well, no, but... Who?
My wife. You've never met her. She's beautiful. A little dirty little...
You see, reason told me the whole world was full of Claire's. It was just a coincidence. I told myself this, but I knew in my heart, and suddenly I knew, too, that I was never going to play Paul Friday in Water's Edge. I was never going to get to that audition. I began to hate myself for looking up and seeing that geezer on the ledge. I knew, too, that I was going to be lumbered with him till either he jumped or I could persuade him to come in. I knew, too, that if he did jump, I was as good as a murderer. The world is full of Claire's, but the one he was talking about was the one I was thinking of, and even then I remember feeling angry about what he'd said about there being 6 of them. I was just another one on the end of the queue. Suddenly I felt ever so sorry for this bloke.
Got a cigarette?
No, I don't smoke.
There's some inside there, on the dresser. Could you?
Yes, okay. You won't do anything while I...
No, I won't. Not for a minute.
Not for a minute? All right.
I fiddled about inside and found the fags. I saw the photograph on the piano, too. Even now, after all these years, I sometimes find myself dreaming of that gorgeous little thing. About 5'1" she was, with a figure like one of those girls you see in film magazines or on the front of record covers. Unbelievable. Claire. What a rotten, lousy coincidence. I saw a coat of hers I recognized slung over the back of a chair. Suddenly I felt terribly sick. If she'd come in, I think I'd have throttled her and then gone and pushed her husband off this ruddy ledge just to be done with the whole thing. She didn't come in, though. I lighted a cigarette and passed it out to him.
Don't try anything. Don't try grabbing me, chum. If you do, I'll pull you with me.
Oh, I wouldn't like that. Here.
Thanks.
So, your wife's played fast and loose, so you're thinking of doing away with yourself. I don't think that's a good enough reason.
Did I ask what you thought?
No.
Well, shut up, then. Thought you had an appointment.
I've missed it.
My sincere apologies. The last one was an actor.
Eh? Last? Oh, Claire.
An actor? That's an insult for a start.
Oh, I don't know. Some actors do pretty well. TV, films, that, you know.
What do you do?
Me? I'm in insurance. You'd be more comfortable sitting in here smoking that fag. Why don't you?
He didn't say anything for a bit then. I felt pretty stupid. I didn't know what to do. Then I saw he was crying and I started to be frightened. For a bit when he was getting sarcastic and that, I thought he might chuck the whole thing and come in. But he was obviously getting all bitter again. And I should imagine that's when you do something without thinking. Then I looked down and saw the little crowd of people below. And I knew that there wasn't a lot of time left. Little black figures were running about down there and waving their arms and that. There were a couple of cars there, too. I thought he'd be all right for a second or two, so I ducked in and locked the door, just to be on the safe side. I went back to the window and looked out again.
Where the... No! Why? You... Oh!
He'd crossed over in front of the window to the left-hand side of it. I thought he'd jumped.
Oh, you're the comedian, aren't you? Funny. Ha-ha! Well, why the ruddy heck don't you jump, then? Go on, don't promise us all. Jump! He looked as if he hated me for a minute. Then suddenly he went all sort of stiff, and he looked as if he was crying again. And I realized he really did mean it. Not like a lot of people who do that sort of thing.
Okay, I'm sorry. Look, please, won't you come in? Is it ruddy stupid, this whole business? Don't do this for a woman. The world's full of things to do. Don't kill yourself for a lousy woman.
And believe me, I really said that word lousy as if I meant it. There were more people scurrying about down below. He saw them too. Looked sort of pleased in a sick kind of way. Somehow I knew it wouldn't be long then.
So, how about it?
What?
Coming in.
Goodbye.
Listen! Don't be so stupid!
He flicked away his cigarette then and pressed his hands against the wall behind him. I felt more frightened than I've ever been before in the whole of my life. And suddenly, too, I thought of something else. I was the other man in this affair, although he didn't know that. It was going to look a bit awkward, wasn't it? Me, the chap his wife was going about with, up here with him, and he jumps out and kills himself. I could see the whole court business. Ah, but did he jump? The man's knuckles went sort of white, and I knew he was pressing to get leverage, and I stretched quickly as far as I dared and got hold of him.
Look, stop it! You'll have me out and all!
Leave it! I had it then. I had to get the beggar in. Wasn't going to stand up at all, not in court afterwards. An unwanted husband decides to do away with himself, and the other man, the third member of the triangle, tries to stop him. Oh, do me a favor. His foot slipped, and for a moment I had the whole weight of him on one arm, and I thought I was going to lose him. But I got my other arm out, too, and got him under the chin. Somebody was doing their night outside the door. It'd be only a minute or two, and they'd be in, I reckon. I wanted them in there, and suddenly I realized he was trying to tear himself away from me and go over the edge. He really was sincere, after all. I couldn't put him in on my own, and there wasn't room enough for anybody else to get there. I needed his help. He had to want to come in. It was a good idea, and it worked, too.
Listen, you're Godfrey Jenkins, aren't you? And Claire's your wife. I know her. I'm the bloke she's been going round with. I'm the actor.
Go on, me. You're a liar. Liar.
I'm Tony Watson. It's not every woman in London that's got a birthmark shaped like on her thigh. Boy, is she hot stuff.
Hey, hold for it. Louis! Shut up!
It worked anyway. He came up over that window ledge as if it was the only thing in the world he wanted to do was to kill me. He nearly made it, too. I remember there were about three policemen and half a dozen other odd bods in the room, and it took all of them to pull him off me.
Now tell me you didn't make it all up.
Eh? Oh, no, honest, straight up. True as I'm on this bus.
Just like that. You saved his life, then. I mean, blimey, what a crazy coincidence. So, what happened?
Oh, we were carted off for questioning and everything. He was taken to hospital then and given a sedative or something, and, well, it didn't get into the papers, and that was a miracle I reckoned I deserved. Vera never found out. I met him afterwards, Godfrey thing. He was quite decent about it. Embarrassed, of course, but he thanked me because he really was going to take the high dive that morning. Makes you all sort of religious, really, doesn't it? Because I was obviously meant to be passing at that time, and I was meant to look up.
Did he patch it up? With Claire?
No, they got divorced and he cleared off to Canada. Never heard of either of them since. Send another beer.
It's nearly 12 o'clock.
Hey?
Oh, blimey. Another appointment I've missed. Yeah, never mind. Too late now. Same again?
Yeah, okay. So, you're okay with Vera and everything's all right, huh?
Oh, I've never been happier. Oh, I thought I'd chuck the theatre and become a new person altogether. No more dramas, faithful husband, little house, nice kids, no more Claire's.
Mm.
Two more pints, please.
Tell me, what was this this birthmark she had, Claire had on her...
It was shaped just like a question mark, mm-hmm. Just here on her right thigh. She was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in the whole of my life. Ironic, really. Question mark. Even now, sometimes, when I've had a couple of beers, I wonder what would have happened if old Godfrey had jumped out and I hadn't seen him and I had got the part in Water's Edge and gone to the States and she'd come with me.
You'd have probably jumped out of a window somewhere. And they're higher up in America. Cheers.